Welcome to That Doesn't Work Anymore, the digital marketing podcast by Ad3. When you're looking to stand out online, the rules are ever changing and yesterday's strategies just won't cut it. Each episode, we'll tap into the brains of our in-house marketing experts, peeling back the layers of the latest trends, tactics and strategies in 2024. But it's not just about what works, we're here to uncover what doesn't. Let's face it, in this fast-paced digital world, your business might be pouring valuable resources down the drain on outdated approaches. We'll reveal the pitfalls so you can save both time and energy for what truly matters. So buckle up, get ready to deep dive, and let's kick off the show that will revolutionise your approach to digital marketing. Welcome to That Doesn't Work Anymore.
Welcome back to That Doesn't Work Anymore. I'm Adam Antsoff, and I am a programmatic supervisor here at Ad3. I help run Ad3 Connect along with my counterpart, Chris Barr. I want to introduce you to Dan Tarek, who comes to us from Mountain.
Adam, my friend, it's good to speak with you. My name's Dan. I've been with Mountain for about 10 years. I'm the senior director of channel strategy over there, and happy to chat today about CTV.
Perfect. And that's a good segue into what we're going to be chatting about today. This marks the first of three of a mini series that we're going to do all centered around CTV, bringing in experts just like Dan to just help us wade through this CTV and all of the different facets, all the way from inventory to optimization. You ready to dive into it, Dan?
Yeah, looking forward to it. Let's chat.
Perfect. So I think a big area that, you know, really cements what CTV is and what it's centered around is the inventory. So one of the things that I guess I want to start off by asking is, like, can you talk about what inventory you are tapping into with Mountain and what is the benefit of going through Mountain for this inventory?
Sure, happy to. So when we look at the inventory that we're looking at specifically or we're working with, it's premium only, basically. 125 different networks, things that are going to show up on the television. Unskippable ads, fully episodic programming across those 125 networks. And we like to call it living room quality television. And that's what we're doing with Mountain specifically. So the big hitters are there, Paramount, Peacock, et cetera. We have individual deals with all 125 networks, individual relationships with all these 125 networks. That gives us a CPM advantage. It also gives us an advantage as far as priority is concerned. We do not work on the open exchange at all. And I think that's something important to note, right? You have the ability going through a DSP. There's some advantage to it working on the open exchange. But realistically, what we're looking for with connected television is, you know, we want that biggest part of the attention economy that we can get. And that's something that CTV offers. So if you're going to do that, be on a trusted source. Be in that, you know, scenario that people are already used to seeing and intaking those television advertisements, like living room quality television as we bill it.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense because in our experience of leveraging CTV, we've come to understand that there is, you know, inventory on the open exchange, but by and large, most of, especially the premium inventory, is done through like PMP deals or pre-negotiated or trying to tap into that inventory directly. So within Mountain, because you guys are already have those deals with all the networks, do agencies or clients need to come to you guys with pre-negotiated PMPs, or is it always better to leverage what you guys have already negotiated?
Yeah, great question. And I'll tell you that the answer to that over this past year has changed dramatically, to be honest with you. I still think this, if you have an awareness play and there is a specific network that you want to show up on in heavy order, it still makes sense to develop your own relationship with that individual platform or network, right? So Hulu is an example, or, you know, you want to do a direct buy somewhere, you're probably going to be able to get some, at least equivalent priority and reasonable pricing on that. If you are looking now, though, at somebody who has access and great pricing established on 120, like honestly, on 125 different networks, that's a little bit of a different story. A year ago, I don't know that any of us had the size to really kind of compete with a direct buy. But as we're looking at it today, and we're not the only platform that's doing this, right? Mountain's got enough clients underneath it where we are, last I checked, at least the seventh largest buyer of CTV inventory out there. That gives us fantastic pricing. All in, when you include all of your data segments and et cetera, data segments, the entire tech stack for CTV, we're like 18 to 23. And I don't want to just sell Mountain when I say this. But the advantage to using a platform that has those kinds of relationships is they also have a big relationship with LiveRamp. They also have a big relationship with OnRamp. Sorry, Oracle. That's who we use. Other organizations with Adobe, you know, whatever they may be using for third-party audiences, IAB Moat. All of those individual pieces of the tech stack get negotiated. So your effective CPM ends up being much lower going through these platforms when you are looking for, you know, we want to reach a good amount of people in a great place to do it.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point because CTV is such a big awareness play, and just knowing that it's, you know, the premium, that's the in-home TV, it usually garners a much higher price. So knowing that we can tap into that at a more efficient CPM is definitely good to highlight.
Yeah, I think if you're going through a DSP, you'll still see CPMs of like 7 to 14. Depends on your relationship with that DSP, depends on the kind of contract you have with them. But realistically, your effective CPM rate after all of the above is included turns out to be like 28 to 35, sometimes 35 to 65, again, depending on the contract.
Yeah, we've seen that for some of our clients as well.
Yeah, yeah. So that's where we have in other platforms, like us, have an advantage.
So in terms of just when we dive into, as I know you mentioned, you tap into, you know, the 125 different inventory sources, how should marketers approach comparing diverse inventory sources such as Pluto versus Hulu? And what factors should they consider to ensure their message resonates across different platforms?
Yeah, great question, because audiences are getting tougher and tougher to kind of nail down, right, as far as who you're in front of at this point in time, especially shooting with the deprecation of the cookie. I would say if you've got a technology that you're using that uses IP specifically, right, walks away from the cookie and is able to use true IP, right, just kind of basically not be derailed by VPN changes, then you still can judge based on, I think, performance. Right. When I say performance, I look to say how many visits are being driven by this network? How many conversions are being driven by this network? Where are they on the path to conversion as a whole? Is there incrementality here? And these are the things that we want to test. These are the things we want to understand. And that's kind of how we want to prioritize one network over another. On our end, you know, we have AI behind that that's kind of doing that testing for us. It'll automatically move impression to the places that are getting the most views and the most conversions. So you can really leave 125 networks open and have a lot of faith and a lot of confidence that at the end of the day, you're going to get the best network mix possible to speak to the people that you want it to speak to. If I don't have that kind of AI behind it, then I am trying to look at some basic demographic data from the networks and see what audiences or where they resonate and try to hand pick there. Maybe I'm limiting that up front. I'm kind of testing into networks over time, not to sit here and sell them out, but that is an advantage to having the AI be able to do that for you.
For sure. And you talked about being able to compare, you know, the performance of these different inventory sources. In terms of measurement, CTV itself is extremely difficult to measure with a lot of traditional measurement sources such as click-through rate or video completion rate, because neither of those metrics matter at all in CTV. What are some kind of more innovative ways that we can measure campaign success, and specifically, I guess, you know, ways that Mountain is doing that as well?
Yeah. Well, kind of speaking to the landscape right now, I'm going to say, Adam, that's going to depend on your goal.
Great call out.
Yeah. I mean, if this is an awareness play, and if that's what you're using connected television for, really to win mind share, you know, in that instance, there are brand lift studies. We work with partners like Lucid and Upwave. So does Trade Desk. So do a lot of DSPs, as far as Lucid is concerned, that will basically survey the audience that you're trying to reach, and you'll get an understanding how effective is my campaign. That works if you've got budget, and that works if that's your goal. And it's one of the first things I'm going to recommend if, you know, you have both of those, if that is your goal and budget. Moving beyond that, though, there are different methodologies. I know geotesting is pretty popular at this point in time to look at incrementality. What I'd say about geotesting is CTV doesn't necessarily have the same saturation rate as like a, you know, a Facebook or an Instagram, even TikTok. So while it's in a lot of households, it's hard to have that same kind of geotest and have any sort of accuracy behind that. If you're looking for conversion incrementality, not just brand lift, in that case, I would use an audience holdout. And mounting these audiences that we're getting from LiveRamp, from Oracle, from whomever, we know the IP addresses that are there. We have our pixel on the site. We're able to see from those we served, you know, obviously, who visited and who converted. And I'll get into that next. We're also able to see who came back to the site, which IP addresses from those audiences that we didn't serve. So we're able to have that audience holdout and kind of that direct comparison between those two groups, and we'll get a percent of conversion incrementality, not just brand awareness. And then the last thing I'll touch on, and this is really specific to us, we've got a, you know, an integration with GA4. Basically, user sees the ad, comes back, we're doing IP matching. That in itself isn't all that unique. What is unique is in real time, we're assessing, one, was the video in view 100%? Two, did that person come back within a customizable time frame, right? 30 minutes, hour, whatever that makes sense to you. And then lastly, was another paid media source touched between the time the user saw that ad and came back? In that instance, if they were not, great. Now we've got what we call a last touch verified visit, and we can pass that on into GA4, Rockerbox, third-party attribution systems.
Gotcha. So you're able to effectively have some sort of not a click metric, but verified traffic being driven by CTV that has not been touched by other sources.
That's it. We're looking to measure and act on an incremental engagement created by that ad that user saw. That's what we want to measure. That's what we're going to optimize against in real time.
Gotcha. And I think that makes a lot of sense, is kind of as you move down from just awareness, and we want to get more into the mid funnel and driving and just testing to see, is our CTV campaigns driving action, and do we want to optimize towards that action? I think that's a very powerful way to measure CTV.
Yeah, I think so too, and a powerful way to optimize off it as well, right? We're not just kind of changing our bid based on how, I mean, for lack of a better term, cookie rich a user or a viewer is at this point in time. It's really what networks, what time of day, what day of week, what frequency, what it's set, all of the above, what's our best way to get in front of the audience we want to speak to in the best spot possible in order to create the engagement that we're looking to create.
That makes sense. And I know that, you know, as you talked about, there's a lot of the goal of CTV is awareness and upper funnel. However, I know that, you know, one of the things that you guys claim to be is, you know, more performance CTV. Can you describe like a good scenario where, you know, conversions, return on ad spend are the goal, and then where, you know, CTV can really shine? Like, what scenarios does CTV really shine in helping drive like conversions and return on ad spend?
Yeah, I mean, it's a growth channel, you know, not to be too broad with it, but I think when connected television really first started getting a foothold, 2017, 2018, it was tough to measure. So we just kind of called it awareness. You know, in the industry as a whole, that's what it is. Then you could put an impression tag down. You could start to be able to track conversions. Okay, it's still awareness. They still didn't have that direct line of sight. This caused an action. So that's kind of how we looked at it. That's how we defined it. And that's when we started bringing it in on the media plans, when we wanted to go upper funnel into awareness that way. The reality is, if you're taking this ad that's got greater engagement than potentially a social ad, greater engagement than a display ad, and you're putting that in front of people and they're coming back to the site for that reason, potentially buying for that reason, you're able to tell your brand story. There's so many aspects of it that are just that much more effective. Then all you have to be able to do really is optimize and track properly, and you can see that it is a growth channel. So if you're looking for an efficient way to be able to drive new users to your site, acquire new clients, acquire new customers, that's a great time to engage with connected television as a whole. The ROAS and the CPA that we're seeing, you know, it's not a click precisely, but in the way I described it, we are measuring engagement as accurately as we can for connected television. We are looking at ROAS and CPA, and we're also looking at incrementality in the same way you would Facebook and in the same way you would Google. So that's when you're engaging those, you know, basically the duopoly for growth channels right now, were an excellent addition, fit, third arm to that performance and growth strategy.
Yeah, I think that makes sense and aligns. So I guess in terms of just, I guess if we want to kind of zoom out a little bit and kind of talk more about strategy with TV or CTV, we know that, you know, brands like to activate campaigns around tentpole events, you know, like March Madness or award shows or even the Olympics that's coming up. Do you think that brands should focus their campaigns on these kind of short impact periods, or is CTV better to be more long, you know, long-term sustained kind of evergreen tactic?
Yeah. Same kind of thing. If you're looking to purely drive awareness and you want to be associated with one of those large tentpole campaigns, you know your audience is there, great. By all means, go for it. There's a reason the Super Bowl is a $7 million ad, right? I mean, so
yeah.
There's also an argument to say that that ad doesn't work for everybody. So if I'm United, I'm absolutely using that ad. I'm using that ad space if I can. If I'm Fiji, you know, I might be a little bit more selective. I want to grow a target audience within certain areas of the United States, or I want to grow my client base overall, you know, nationally, if I need to. I want an evergreen campaign that's going to speak to them on a regular basis with different messaging and develop that relationship with their viewer in the same way that I would use social and in the same way that, to an extent, I would use search.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So I guess in terms of, for our audience, just, you know, as you talked about it being a growth and leveraging it with other channels, how should clients assess, you know, the potential of new and emerging channels for top of the funnel engagement without diluting kind of their core channels, such as like Facebook and Google?
Yeah, great question. Without the dilution as a whole, I think you have to get an understanding of where your point of depreciation is for Google and Facebook, right? If you're already starting to fade at a certain level or a certain return on ad spend that you know is profitable, and you want to drive it to that point, great. Then you're realistically able to, any additional funds, kind of test into a different area. What I would say about connected television, in that answer, I'm speaking to kind of top of the funnel channels as a whole. You know, when I'm speaking to CTV specifically, though, it is one of those things where you are going to, by nature, see an increase in conversion rate for Google, for Facebook, for the other channels once you light CTV up. I can speak for Mountain specifically. You know, the average, when we look at 60 days before we launch, 90 days after, we generally see a 22% increase in branded search conversion rate. And I think, you know, just kind of based on the way I was describing how we measure views, that makes sense. And also a 9% increase in paid social conversion rate. So you really wouldn't be diluting efficacy by transferring some funds. You'd probably get the similar amount of conversions, in those channels with less budget at them, and then be able to test these other channels with some confidence that you're still going to not miss a beat financially. And if they are additive in that test, fantastic.
Yeah, and I want to highlight that you said 9% increase in conversion rate, not 9% increase in conversions.
Correct. Efficiency.
Yeah, which I think is a really good, interesting thing that you're calling out, that you're like rising tides, you know, increases all, whatever the saying is, but you're helping out all the other channels, right?
Rising tide lifts all boats, right?
There it is. There we go. There it is. Yeah, okay. And I think that's, it's important to understand that, you know, CTV is kind of that air support on top of your channels that you know are successful. So when we're out talking about adding CTV to plans, by all means, we're not saying, hey, let's replace Facebook, let's replace Google. We know that those, you know, work in the ecosystems that they work in. Yeah. But as you mentioned, those channels can hit diminishing returns and their effectiveness, and being able to have your client's logo and message on, you know, the big screen, the major inventory in people's homes, so that you get that multi-touch kind of journey for your clients is what's increasing that conversion rate.
Yeah. Yeah, just kind of speaking to it, Adam, we've seen on our side, right? And obviously, we've got a niche in the market that we speak to. We speak to performance television in a very specific way. And we measure things like this too, right? So we, over the past 2 years, we've had a few thousand clients light up a mountain. Not a small amount whatsoever. And I think there's three common instances where a client says, yeah, it's time to test into connected television. The first one being, hey, I have hit a point of depreciation. iOS is killing me on Facebook and on Google right now. A lot of my old standbys aren't working in the same way we used to. We need to figure out how to do this better and differently. One reaction to that is, I need something else that can drive a strong return on ad spend, improving incrementality behind it. Great. That's primarily when we're brought on. We still want to have, you know, a good MER, a strong individual ROAS behind each channel that we know is starting to contribute to the rest of the pie. The second is, we're gonna restructure completely. We're not even gonna look at return on ad spend anymore, but we are going to look at an overall, and I'll use MER again in that instance, and we're going to start adding in top of the funnel. We're going to have some patience with it. We're going to bring in a new measurement system. Maybe we'll do Rockerbox for an MMM or something along those lines. Maybe we'll have Prescient in to be able to tell us, you know, what we are seeing from each individual channel. We'll change that strategy. We'll change that structure. CTV gets added to it. And the last one is, man, and this is rare right now, but we're doing so good on search and social, we can't push any more money into it. We want to try something different. And that's when I think you see us join the fray, right? Like pretty much us and TikTok are the next things you're going to test. So.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess if we want to kind of narrow things in a little bit for, you know, the traders that might be listening in, what are some optimization strategies that you found to be most effective in driving campaign success?
Yeah. I mean, we do everything from an AI standpoint. So I know that's kind of tough to answer from a mountain lens. I think overall, you definitely have to look at frequency. I mean, you have those kinds of controls as an agency. I know a lot of agencies are going to say, is this the right network for your audience? And I think that's a big optimization that's used. Here's my problem with that as a whole. I love Yellowstone. I don't know. Do you watch Yellowstone?
I've seen it. It's not on my, I haven't watched it extensively.
Okay. I mean, I love it. My dad loves it. You know, this is what we talk about every Sunday for an hour, regardless of where it is in the season. But I know that when that is on Paramount, that's what we're going to watch. Now, I'm not, you know, bashing Paramount. And actually, I think they've come out with some great programming. But generally speaking, that's the only time my dad is going to be watching Paramount. And it's one of the few times that I'm going to be watching it. I don't want to miss speaking to us if we're in your target audience. But I don't want to overbuy on that either. And that's why cutting out a network, cutting out certain, you know, higher quality inventory areas in order to create some kind of efficiency or based on the audience, that's when that gets dangerous. Because I can show you a client that in May 2022, their highest performing network was AMC. And then you look at May 2023 and it flips over to ESPN. And ESPN wasn't even on the radar in 2022. So it makes a difference in that way.
Would you say it makes more sense rather than optimizing on the network side to try and optimize on the audience side and test out either different audiences that you guys tap into or uploading, you know, first party data that you can then look like off of?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, you know who your audience is for the most part. You know, go out, find them, and then have some faith that as far as what network is going to be used, it's going to be following that audience as a whole. And there's going to be some efficacy to that. Other areas to be able to optimize, yes, start pruning. What works best, what doesn't? Start looking to scale into new audiences. Where are we getting some kind of connection between them? And then creative. You want to talk about where to optimize at this point in time. That's at creative. I mean, audience absolutely is something that needs to be adjusted, but where you're going to get the most bang for your optimization buck is going to be on A/B testing those creatives against each other in different geos, you know, two different audience sets, etc.
I think you bring up a very great point there that I think CTV more than, you know, other channels, creative has to be premium because you're competing with, you know, the traditional linear TV ad where you get all this production value. So if you don't have really strong creative for CTV, then you're already starting, you know, behind the pack, if you will.
Creative has to be relevant to the folks that you want to speak to with it. And that's how I can best put it. Because I've seen CTV ads that are, you know, UGC still formatted like they are for TikTok that do well. And you wouldn't think it by looking at it. But that's why I say A/B test, you know? And the other end, there's clients that use that kind of creative that aren't really gonna get the same level of enthusiasm for it. But yeah, we work with Rumble. We worked with them for a long time, and I think they're a great example. This is an organization that pushes out dozens of, you know, commercials, videos every year. Do they spend a ton of money on it? No. They take a few different videos, they A/B test, they change one thing. They try it again, they A/B test again, they change another thing. So when I see dozens of videos, it's really like four shoots constructed multiple different ways, and then they see which creatives work with which audiences in which geographies, and that's how they're able to scale so effectively.
That makes a lot of sense, and I think that's good advice for anyone who's running CTV and just kind of how they can format their video creation strategy is, you know, have less, but more via variations. Cool. So I think as we're kind of winding down, I think we have, you know, just a couple, just like some final questions here, just kind of more about the future and kind of how you kind of see things going. So given your knowledge and experience in the CTV space, what trends are you seeing in this channel and how do you see it developing over the next 5 to 10 years? Like, what are things you're excited about? Where do you see some challenges?
I mean, I'm excited about some of these inventory sources really kind of joining the fray, right? I'm excited about Disney. I'm excited about, you know, what NBC is offering at this point in time across multiple different channels. I'm excited about those sorts of things. That brings its own challenge because you're already seeing fragmentation in a fractured structure. You know, Netflix is moving more into the ad-based inventory. The CPM is,
I mean, unreal.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth it or it isn't, you know?
Like, yeah.
If we go back to Super Bowl ads as kind of a concept, tentpole events, you know, and that's why that makes the most sense. But that's what I'm excited about. At the same time, it's tough to find individual providers that handle everything. And they can do it from one point and one platform and have some level of, you know, frequency control, et cetera, around that. So that's going to be the challenge of it. The other trend I see right now is a lot of the platform, not just Mountain, but the platforms like us, mostly us, but Also the platforms like us, you know, as we become larger and larger and larger with bigger client sets, then we get better and better pricing, and it becomes more cost effective, not just to run from a performance level, but also to look at it from an awareness standpoint. You know, like, hey, if this is a CPM, I know I'm getting premium inventory, that's measurable, everything's incremental, great. Why not? Why wouldn't you use a platform like that?
Yeah, and I think that makes a lot of sense. Because there's been times where my KPI has been, how can I get the lowest CPM? And we just want to get as many videos out there for the cheapest price. So when you're talking about, you know, just optimizing and lowering CPMs, if you're already starting at a low CPM for our premium inventory, it makes a lot of sense for those clients, as well as the clients that are really just honing in and just want to, you know, leverage the mid funnel or even driving performance.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll say this too, Adam. When we talk about CPM and when we talk about efficiency and when we talk about size of an individual contributor right now or an individual platform, there's still a deprecation of cookies, right? And then I love Oracle, I love LiveRamp, I love all this first party data that they're able to bring to the table, and I love the way we're able to use them. Well, you look at what Mountain's starting to do right now. We just released Mountain Match, and this is a minor plug, but I'm very impressed with it so far. What it is, it's a shopper graph and an event graph, also a behavioral graph. So it's less about, hey, a lookalike. It's not so much a lookalike where this person's in this, you know, data segment. So because others in that data segment converted, we want to go after them. It's more, this has been this person's online and viewer behavior over the past 5, 10, 20 days. This is what they've purchased recently. This is what events are going on in their lives. They're getting married. They're applying for college. You know, they're retiring. And it's using all that information to, as opposed to going after people with a data segment, we're actually looking for live, real-time behavior to be able to match that and see if we can get those served to those users and therefore increase conversion and visit rate. That's going fantastically well. That's a big answer, I think, to a certain sense of cookie deprecation and the difficulty in measuring third-party audiences.
Yeah, and I think that's a great call out, because everyone right now is, you know, that's the biggest topic of the day, is the cookie deprecation and how's that gonna affect my performance, how's that gonna affect my audiences, how's that gonna affect my attribution. So I think, you know, finding solutions to navigating that the new ecosystem, the new normal is definitely paramount. Bringing it back to paramount. Cool. Well, I appreciate your time today. And I appreciate everyone who has listened to our conversation on CTV. And we look forward to sharing more insights about CTV with you in the future.
It's always good to chat, and I appreciate you having me on. Thanks, Adam.
Yep, always good chat. Talk soon.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of That Doesn't Work Anymore. If any of the topics we explored today left you hungry for more, reach out to us at ad3.com/contact. Stay tuned, because we're gearing up for another exciting episode of That Doesn't Work Anymore. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, keep innovating and keep rocking that digital marketing game.